I was out.
Okay. I'll have to turn on Facebook.
Okay. Starting, we're going to be talking about the wages of sin. And when we go to Romans 6, chapter verse 23, we read about the wages of sin and the wages of sin is death. But what we're going to talk about today is who made the promise. And we're going to start, if you would, get your Bibles, and open Genesis, the first chapter. You know, God created the world and everything in it. He did that 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. In chapter 1, verse 4, he talks about, he's talking about the light of darkness. And in verse 4, he says, and the light was good. And we see this repeated other times as God is creating things. In verse 10, he says, God saw that it was good. In verse 12, God saw that it was good. In verse 18, God saw that it was good. In verse 21, he repeats the same thing. God saw that it was good. But then, in verse 31, after man was created and all the things in it, God says, God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And on the sixth day, he rested. So, God had made everything. He said it very good. But, you know, things don't stay that way very long. You know, God created the perfect world, and as we go through here, we'll see that things will change. But the description of it is in just the second chapter, verse 8. Starting there, it says, God planted a garden, Eastern and Indian, a very good land, and he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out to Eden, the water of the garden, and there it parted and came four rivers. The name of the first is John, and the one who skirted the whole land of Balea, where there was gold, and the gold in that land was good. Bithynium and onyx stones there, and then the second river was Gishon, is the one who goes around the whole garden, the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river was Ithaca, which goes towards the east of Assyria, the fourth river to Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man to say, every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For on that day that you eat, you shall surely die. And the Lord said to him, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him out of the ground. Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call it. Whatever Adam called every living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam and slept. Took one of his ribs, close of the flesh in its place, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made to a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and be option. There's a few key takeaways you can take out of this. You go back to verse 15, we see that God expected man to work. Put him in the garden to work it and keep it. And then you go to verses 16 and 17. You see that God gave them laws to obey. He commanded them, you should surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. So, even from the beginning, man had laws that they had to live by, to do things. Now, if you turn over to the third chapter of Genesis, we see that even with this perfect environment, everything furnished for man sinned. Starting in verse 1, that the serpent was what, verse 1 chapter 3, that the serpent was what cunning and beastly field was the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, as God and King said, you shall not eat of everything in the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit which is in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat. Or shall you touch it unless you die? Should stop right there. It goes on. But then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat, if your eyes be open, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What he said, there's some truth in there. They would know good, but they were told not to do that. So the woman saw the tree was good for food. That tree pleasant to the eye, that tree desirable to make one wife, she took of the fruit and ate it. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate it. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed thick leaves together and made themselves coverings. So, sin entered the world, and we see those consequences. In Genesis 3, verse 14, we see the consequences, 14 and 15, the consequences to the serpent. Because you have done this, your curse will be all cattle, and more than every beast of the field, on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. You shall bruise his heel. And the woman, he said in verse 16, I will greatly multiply your sorrows and your conception. In pain you shall make more children, your desire shall be for your husband, and you shall rule over you. In verse 17, he's talking to Adam, because you have eaten the poison of your wife and eaten the tree which I commanded you, say, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat all of it, all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall. You shall eat the herbs of it, the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread to the earthly ground. For out of it will you take it, and dust you are, and dust you shall return. So, here's some consequences. But that's the only thing. It continues in verse 22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and also take the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground with which he's taken. So he drove out the man. Placed cherubims at the east of the garden of Eden and flamed his sword, which was turned away every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So, seeing consequences, and you think that people have seen it, that they're going to, things are going to get better. Written from the regardless. I've seen what God will do. You know, things are even different from the time of God and the flood. We see that that things aren't a whole lot that should be there. And, in chapter 4, we read about Cain giving an offering that's unacceptable to God. And then he subsequently murdered his brother. I just can't imagine the hate you would have to your brother if it caused you to break it. And the world, it just continues that way. If you'll turn to Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse 5. We read about how things happened before the flood. The Lord saw wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every intent of his thoughts of his heart were only evil to take. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. Man and man was creeping things, and birds and cattle. But I'm sorry that I have faith, but no one found favor in the eyes of the Lord. We all know about that. We read the story about the flood. He found favor. But you know, Noah saw all these things, he saw all these people die. He sees the power that God has. But just almost immediately after the flood, well, I'm not sure about how soon, but you know, in chapter 9, verse 20, Genesis 9, verse 20, we see that Noah, he gets drunk. His son comes there and does immoral things to his father. And these are people that have seen the great power of God. Firsthand, they saw. In Genesis 9, starting verse 20, that Noah became a farmer and planted vineyard. Then he drank of the wine, and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Shem and Jacob took the garment, laid it on both his shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away. They did not see their father's nakedness. So they all know the wolf and his wine and knew what his younger son had done. Don't go into a whole lot of details here. But what Ham did was wrong, and that's something he shouldn't have done. They've seen the power of God. But you can go through the Old Testament and see all kinds of people. You see King Solomon. You see King David. You see the Israelites if you follow it in the daily readings that come out of Canaan, or out of Egypt. We see the Israelites and things like this. We read about Sodom and Gomorrah. Even in the New Testament, we read about people like Judas, Peter, Saul, Ananias, Sapphira, false teachers, lots of people. What do we have in common with these people? We can all see. And the other thing is, without God, without Jesus, we'll be lost. I mentioned it when we first started, but if you turn to Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 20, Romans 6, 20 through 23. Says that when we were slaves of sin, we were free in regard to righteousness. When the fruits Buckland would be. The Buckland would be getting at that time from the bank, which you are now checking, would end all these sanctions today. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, between your giving leases to sacrification and to skin eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, but we have to come without Jesus with our belongings. So, look, that is something that is very, very important to us. We need to remember that. And we've got some comforting things to look at. In John 3, verse 14 through 17. John 3, verse 14 through 17. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. For whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to give the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's so comforting to know that God thought enough of it that he wants it to be saved. And that plan was not something that was just God said, you know, these people have done that. I need to make this plan. Before the earth started, we find in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 7, that this plan was in effect. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the earth, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption of the sons of Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, of which he has made us acceptable in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Jesus died for us all. But what do we have to do? We want to be, he paid the cost. We want to redeem that. There's two things we have to do. Thank all of us. Know these things. We know the plan of salvation. And you know, people are in different places along the way. Thank all of us that have heard the word. Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But do we believe in it? We're told we have to believe. In Mark 16:16, he that believes as baptized will be saved. He does not believe, will be condemned. We do repent of our sins. Everybody's accountable for sin. At 17, verse 30 says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked. Now commands all men everywhere to repent, because it is the day of which he will judge the world in righteousness for the man who is from that. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And after you do that, you need to confess your faith in Christ. Romans 10:18. Luke 10 says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And then, we do baptism. In Acts 2:38, called the first Pentecost after Christ had died. We we see these people ask the question, and either answer them what they should do, either tell them to repent, and then when you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, in remission of your sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises to you, to all your children, to all your far off, as many as the Lord